It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello! I figured out my microphone problem on Saturday, so hopefully the audio is all fixed.
That's correct.
Fingers crossed. We'll see. I am coming to you live, because, well, a lot of news today, and I started working well before I should have. So, that's kind of what happened. So, anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and connect over to SDF, because I want to join in on Calm. Calm is the chat program for SDF, which powers it on radio. So all you got to do is SSH over, then... Once you SSH over, just type COM, C-O-M. In my case, I use TMUX, and over in TMUX land, it looks like my session got reset. Not a big problem. All you gotta do... Anyway, TMUX is a great program. If you don't know about it, check it out. But anyway, once you get connected, launch COM, just C-O-M, then press G for go to, and a non-radio, all lowercase. Boom. You will be in the room. Howdy, howdy. I type in the room. You can press R to see recent chat, and you can see everybody. Stug, Ratsu, M. Stoney, SMJ. Whoa! SMJ was listening in the archive! Shoutouts! Heck yeah. Welcome. Welcome, one and all. As is the case whenever this is live, chat, me and Com sometimes have trouble keeping up with the news at the same time, so I will do my best to keep everything straight, or at least organized. Whew. All right. Well, that. Oh. There. I don't know if you can hear it, but my upstairs neighbor is vacuuming. I think they have a Roomba because it happens to go off about this time every day. And then it sounds like either an airplane or a lawnmower. We'll find out if they keep going off. But hopefully you don't hear them. All right. Like to hear it? Here it go. We're going to start the way we always do, and that's with
world news.
That's right, the world news, which is where we begin our adventure today. All right, so first up, Samoa. Samoa's first female PM locked out of parliament by losing opponent. Samoa's first female prime minister has been sworn into office in a tent after she was locked out of parliament by her opponent, who's refused to step down. Fiamme Naoma Matafa, we talked about her last week, took the oath of office in a marquee in the parliament's gardens, leaving uncertainty over who controls the Pacific Island nation. Tualepe Selele Malelegao, who has been prime minister for 22 years, has ignored a court order to step down. Ms. Matafa, 64, arrived at parliament on Monday expecting to be sworn in, but the former deputy prime minister, who arrived alongside the chief justice, found herself barred from the building, which had been locked by allies of Mr. Malelegao in advance of her arrival. Oh, wow, and the head chief justice has a wicked, a very cool-looking outfit. He's got a red robe and then a long white wig. I'm going to put that link into Calm, another reason to be there. So good to see SMJ. It's been a long time. All right, cool robe. All right, that'll go in there into Calm. All right, instead, Mustafa... Mataafa, members of her Fa'atua Ile Atua Samoa Watasi, or FAST party, gathered in Marquee in Parliament's Gardens in the capital Apia, which supports looking on, and were sworn in one by one. In a statement, the FAST party said, "Democracy must prevail always. There can be no exceptions for this fundamental principle. Those who claim otherwise and act accordingly play with fire." The ad hoc ceremony was rejected by rivals as unlawful. Mr. Malelegao called the improvised swearing-in ceremony illegal and unlawful. The controversy comes a month after the closest-run general election in Samoa's history, which has followed by bitter disputes and legal challenges. So we're definitely going to see some interesting stuff going on here. Fingers crossed, because Samoa has been a democracy for a long time, but it's one of those where... when you've been in democracy, but you've never changed leaders, it can get a little gnarly because it's like, was it really a free place? Or was this just a dictatorship with extra steps? It's always hard to tell. Oh, shucks. Sorry. That rustling is my bag. I got lunch and then rushed over because, yeah, that's how busy my day's been. I couldn't even make lunch. All right. We'll eat it during the song. Whew, deep breaths. Oh, man. It is good to be back. Having a lot of fun today, you know. All right. So let's keep going. Let's go to China, not too far away. China's ultra marathon inquiry launched after 21 runners die in cold weather. Holy moly, 21 people. Chinese authorities have launched an investigation into the death of 21 people in an ultra marathon. Over the weekend, as family and friends of the competitors who died in freezing weather questioned how it was allowed to happen. A further 8 runners were injured when extreme weather hit the 100-kilometer high-altitude race in Yellow River Stone Forest near Beiyin in northwestern Gansu province. More than 700 rescuers were sent in with thermal imaging drones and radar detectors to find the 172 competitors who were running with little protective clothing other than emergency foil blankets, some of which were reportedly shredded by high winds. Local authorities have launched an investigation, while observers blamed race organizers, accusing them of not heeding weather forecasts for the province, which is often hit by extreme weather conditions. Hey, X1, welcome. In a report on Friday, the Provincial Meteorological Bureau had issued warnings for sudden heavy showers, hail, lightning, and sudden gale-force winds across Gansu. State media had reported temperatures plunging far below zero, pelting runners with rain, hail, and sleet. In response to the tragedy, China's sports governing body ordered improvements in safety management and national sports events, including detailed contingency plans for incidents and measures for emergency cancellations, saying there were problems and deficiencies in the management. Among the dead were elite runners, including the 31-year-old record holder, Ling Jing, who leaves behind a 2-year-old daughter, and the Paralympian, Huang Guanjun. Oh, wow. I need to go check on my buddy. One of my co-workers lives in China and is a marathon person, and he loves doing these kind of long-distance runs like this, so now I'm kind of worried. Liang, who had won a number of Chinese ultramarathons in recent years, while Huang won the men's hearing-impaired marathon at the 2019 National Paralympic Games. "I'm still stunned by the news. How could this happen? I cannot believe it," Liang's father told media. Of the lead 6 competitors, only one, Zhang Xiao Tao, reportedly survived. In a post on Weibo, Zhang described overtaking Huang, who was both speech and hearing-impaired, on the mountain as the weather began to turn. He also described running with Wu Pan Rong, who was in 5th place for a time, supporting each other before they were separated. Wu is also reported to be among the dead. Holy moly. At a news briefing on Sunday, Beiyin officials bowed and apologized, saying they were saddened by the tragic deaths of the runners and that they were to be blamed. Oh, man. Oh, dear. SMJ is traveled forward in time. He's using a time machine to talk to us. This is amazing. Amazing technology they have. I'm betting it's technology restricted for export, though. Well, let's go over here. Russia. Al Jazeera has an article that wasn't on any other website. Russia warns Turkey over ties with Ukraine. Stop fueling Kiev's militaristic sentiment, Russia says, after Ankara's pledge to support Ukraine in recent clash. Russia's foreign minister on Monday warned Turkey against what he said were attempts to fuel militaristic sentiment after Ankara moved to boost cooperation with Kiev. Turkish President Erdogan last month pledged to support Kiev amid a buildup of Russian forces along its border with Ukraine. Erdogan said at the time that Turkey, a NATO member, and Ukraine had launched a platform with their foreign and defense ministers to discuss defense industry cooperation, but added that this was not in any way a move against third countries. "We strongly recommend that our Turkish colleagues carefully analyze the situation and stop fueling Kiev's militaristic sentiment," Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said in an interview with Argument.ti/Fakti newspaper. He said the encouraging aggressive Ukrainian actions towards Russian annexed Crimea amounted to encroachment on Russia's territorial integrity. Ooh, now that's pretty warning. Moscow's ties with the West have languished at post-Cold War lows since the annexation of Crimea, which resulted in a flurry of sanctions being imposed. So, very scary. Welcome, Tobe! The mystery. Oh, man. Oh, that's it. Greater than 48-bit encryption is not allowed for export. Okay, so we talked about Russia, which means we got to talk about Belarus. There were two big stories here. First, how Nexta channel bypassed news blackout. So for days, Belarusians have had little information on the unrest filling their streets, with state-run TV making little attempt to report it, and other websites and social media offline. But one source of information has attracted increasing numbers in this country of 9.5 million people is a channel on the popular Telegram messaging app called Nexta. Pronounced Nekta. I'll put that. Pronounced Nekta. It has managed to bypass many of the restrictions. By Wednesday, opposition websites were online again, but for three nights there's been silence. So how did Nexta get its audience? Oh, welcome, Robert588. We are sitting in a bunker, is how one Belarusian described the situation. Meanwhile, hundreds of messages are being posted for Nekta's 1.5 million subscribers. A riot police vehicle is seen driving into a crowd. Police are filmed beating a protester on the ground. Petrol bombs are thrown. This news is visible and uncensored. The Telegram messenger has only been available sporadically via Wi-Fi, but its founder, Pavel Durov, says it has enabled anti-censorship tools. An internet shutdown is a huge mistake by the authorities, Nekta editor-in-chief Roman Protasevich told BBC Russian. Telegram has picked up almost all Belarusians who are flooding the streets in an effort to bring about changes in the country. With most of the opposition leadership out of the country, the channel has played a key role in coordinating the protests, but more established opposition media are wary of such an activist source of information whose messages are hard to verify. Nekta has no website and only a small editorial team of four in Warsaw, but it does have a YouTube and Telegram channel. Its chief editor says they are pioneers of cyber journalism. Founded 5 years ago as YouTube Music by teenager Stepan Pultilo, also known as Stefan Svetlov, it translates from Belarusian as someone. The first video was a sarcastic cover of a song mocking the 2015 campaign ahead of the re-election of President Alexander Lukashenko. For all of 20 years, there's been no choice, only a worn-out tire. Then it turned to corruption. It was my hobby. I made funny videos for my relatives' birthdays. Then I decided to accumulate all the trash of Lukashenko's Belarus, Mr. Putilo told human rights website Charter 97. So, there's a lot of stuff going on here. It is going to be very interesting. Hey, that future shine. So that's happening over in Belarus, but that's not the big story out of Belarus. That was just kind of a teaser. The big thing is that Belarus pulled some shenanigans this weekend. Ryanair's chief executive has said he believes that agents of the Belarusian KGB were traveling on the plane that was diverted to Minsk on Sunday as EU leaders prepared to meet to discuss what actions to take against Belarus. Belarusian police arrested opposition blogger Roman Protasevich, we just talked about him, and his girlfriend Sofia Sapega after forcing their Ryanair flight to land in the Belarusian capital, sparking outrage from European leaders who have called the plane's grounding a hijack and act of air piracy. Belarus's ambassador to the EU, Alexander Mikhanovich, was summoned on Monday for a dressing down by senior officials in Brussels over another blatant attempt to silence the opposition. In an interview on News Talk Breakfast, the Ryanair CEO, Michael O'Leary, said that it appears the intent of the authorities was to remove a journalist and his traveling companion. We believe there were some KGB agents offloaded at the airport as well.
Get the news over with. I want to hear
Monday,
the music.
It was revealed that Sapega, a Russian scientist studying at the European Humanities University in Lithuania, was forced off the flight along with Protasevich, whom Belarusian authorities have accused of fomenting the mass protests last year against the president. They were flying from Athens to Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, when the plane was diverted to Minsk. Protasevich, a former editor of the influential Telegram channel Nekta and Nekta Live, was detained by police in Minsk after Lukashenko ordered his military to scramble a MiG-29 fighter to meet the plane. Passengers on board, said Protasevich, began handing his phone and other personal items to Sapega when he learned that the flight would be making an emergency landing. Neither Minsk nor Moscow have publicly confirmed Sapega's arrest, and it's not clear if she has been charged with a crime. EHU, that's Echo Hotel Uniform, has demanded the release of Sapega, saying that she was detained by the Minsk Investigative Committee on groundless, made-up conditions. She was praying to defend her master's thesis in Vilnius, the university said. According to colleagues, Protasevich had sent them messages claiming he was being followed by a man in a departure lounge in Athens he suspected as a Belarusian KGB agent. The man was said to have been behind him in the queue to board. He was said to have tried to take a photo of his documents before asking Protasevich a stupid question in Russian and leaving. So yeah, it's very wild indeed. This story has a lot going on to it, but so you should definitely check it out if you're interested. But wow, the EU's already imposed sanctions on nearly 60 Belarusian officials, including Lukashenko and his son Viktor, over accusations of elections fraud, and then a heavy-handed crackdown on protesters that included widespread reports of brutal torture in Belarusian jails. Minsk has increasingly turned to Moscow for support, isolating it from the West, but also limiting the effect of possible sanctions from Brussels or Washington. So, we'll have to wait and see what exactly happened, but holy cow, it is, it's something else. It's very wild because they scrambled an air fighter and grounded the plane that just happened to be flying overhead. And, I don't know. I just find that to be incredibly, worrying because you never know. I mean, that could happen to anybody. It's very scary. All right. Well, it's time to play a song. Like to hear it? Here it go. We're going to go ahead here and throw a song out. We got to find a short one, though. Let's go to the 80s. All right. What do we got in the 80s here? Oh, nothing good. Let's try the 60s. 60s are always fun, too. Do you like to hear it? Here go. Sorry, I got that song in my head. Or I got that guy in my head. Alrighty. Oh. Here we go. This is BJ Thomas. Hooked on a Feeling.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access UNIX System.
That is 100% correct. Non-radio is powered by SDF. Thank you for being here. And I want to be sure and mention... Sorry about that. Wanted to be sure and mention, please stick around. In 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, short minutes away, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And that's a fun jaunt. It is Monty season, so there are lots of adventures outdoors. And that's it's just tons of fun. You got to check it out to try it. Stay tuned, nonradio.net. You can check out the Dubious Goals Committee every single day at 19:30 UTC. And if you go to nonradio.net, you can check out the schedule. There are a lot of time slots that are open if you really want to get involved, want to be on the air, or if you want to listen, it's good to check it out because you got the Dubious Goals Committee and then Mix Remix today with Harry Larry. Super good time. Alrighty, let's get back on it.
World news.
We got lots of stuff to go through.
Resistance is futile.
And resistance is futile. So... yeah, so the Belarusian blogger thinks he's gonna die. Let's ease back into things. Here is a nice mellow thing.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yeah. French minister says Eurovision's Italian winners could be disqualified over alleged drug use. A band, a rock band no less, accused of drug use? That's almost unheard of. France's Europe minister said Monday that Italy's Eurovision winners could be disqualified if it's found they used cocaine during the song contest, a move that would render France's second-place contestant the winner. Damiano David, the vocalist for 2021 winner's Maneskin, is that... Maneskin. it's M-A-N-E-S-K-I-N, and so I read that as Maneskin, but it's probably Maneskin. Who knows? All right. Has agreed to take a drug test after a video appeared to show him snorting something from a table backstage during the contest. France's Europe minister on Monday called for total transparency over speculation that one of Italy's victorious Eurovision contestants used cocaine during the song contest, saying it should be grounds for disqualification if confirmed. I think there needs to be no doubt here in total transparency, Europe minister Clément Beaune, who attended the show in Rotterdam, told RMC Radio, that's Romeo Mike Charlie Radio, if there is a problem, there are penalties. Provisions are made for sanctioning measures, including potential disqualification in case of problems, he said. So, we'll find out, I guess. But we didn't get other news about Eurovision until this. The president of France's broadcasting group said Monday that France would not contest its second-place finish, no matter the speculation over David's backstage antics. Rock and roll never dies. Tonight we made history. We love you, the band tweeted before heading back home from Rotterdam, where this year's contest was held. So, we'll see what happens there. But that's happening over there. That's a little Eurovision for you. So now, let's get into the sad stuff. Man, I need to make a sad noise, but here's a happy one. All right, little hope left. Lebanon's paralysis and a collapsing state. So yeah, Lebanon, remember when that giant container ship that was abandoned blew up? Well, yeah, it pretty much destroyed the country. Lebanon's been without a fully functional government for almost 10 months, with President Michael Aoun and returning Prime Minister designate Saad Hariri unable to agree on a cabinet. Disagreements focus on the number of ministers and how they'll be allocated based on sectarian and political representation. The two have been unable to settle their differences, having met 18 times since Hariri's appointment in October. Hariri and his political party, the Future Movement, insist they are pushing for a technocratic government that focuses on reforms. They, Aoun and all allies, want a government that they can control and have veto power, MP Mohamed Hajjar of the Future Movement told Al Jazeera. Hariri's government of experts has sectarian balance and representation of Muslims and Christians, but they want a government based on quotas. Meanwhile, Aoun and his Free Patriotic Movement party say they do not want veto power, but a more representative government. It's become evident that Prime Minister Designate is unable to form a government capable of salvation, Aoun said in a letter to Parliament his office delivers this week. He is making Lebanon a captive as he traps the people in government and takes them as hostages, driven into the abyss. We gotta hurry up. We don't got a lot of time. Anyway, this is very interesting. A lot of political stuff going on. The international community's repeated statements and meeting with Lebanese officials have led to nothing. Lebanon's former colonizers tried to be more proactive. French President Emmanuel Macron jetted to Beirut several days after the port explosion in early August, offered humanitarian aid, but conditioned it on structural reforms. Macron and other world leaders raised about $300 million in humanitarian aid for the country. It's going to be trouble, but we don't have a lot of time to dive into it. But yeah, Lebanon is still having serious trouble. It's at risk of being a failed state, and then who knows what'll happen. Sad news out of the UK, Sasa Johnson, a Black Lives Matter or BLM activist, may have been shot by mistake. Detectives are searching for the person who fired into a garden gathering early on Sunday morning, leaving the Black Lives Matter activist Sasha Johnson fighting for her life after she sustained a gunshot wound to the head. Police insist Johnson, who came to prominence last year as a protest for racial justice sprung up across Britain, was not specifically targeted, nor was the shooting linked to her activism. It's believed that the mother of three was most likely an unintended victim. Johnson, age 27, was felled by a single bullet wound around 3 a.m. on Sunday, and no other injuries have been reported. Between 20 to 40 people were believed to be present at the South London home, and the person police are looking for is not to be believed to... And the person the police are looking for is not believed to be among those attending. All right, they dropped a word. A claim that Johnson was felled by a drive-by shooting is believed to be incorrect. So hopefully they find that person. No word on why they think it was random. Body of a missing man found inside a Spanish dinosaur. Check your dinosaur statues, everybody. This is incredible. It's just wild news right now. Ooh. Oh, sorry. I missed out. There's apparently a milk stand that I need to check out. Oh. All right, I can't follow. Just going to ignore. Let's keep on rolling. All right, we're running out of time, so we're just going to do... Boop, boop. We're going to just do a couple headlines real quick. So first, yeah, check your dinosaurs. Spanish police... España, you're still in the news. Spanish police are investigating the death of a 39-year-old man whose body was found inside a dinosaur statue. Authorities were alerted on Saturday after a father and his son noticed a smell emanating from the papier-mâché figure in Santa Coloma de Gramenet, a suburb of Barcelona. The father then saw the corpse through a crack in the Stegosaurus's hollow leg. Police said the man had been reported missing by his family and no foul play is suspected. Three fire brigade teams were called to the scene after the body was discovered, and firefighters cut open the dinosaur leg to retrieve it. Local media reported the man, who has not been named, was trying to retrieve a mobile phone he dropped inside the statue. He then fell inside the decorative figure and was left trapped, upside down, unable to call for help. Police have not confirmed how the man ended up in the dinosaur and are awaiting the results of his autopsy. The decorative statue has been removed outside the city's Cubic building, where it had been used to advertise an old cinema. Holy cow, what a way to go. That sucks. All right, here's the last bits. India marks 300,000 COVID deaths as pandemic rages. Thousands of people did a motorbike parade for Jair Bolsonaro, even though the pandemic's going on. They weren't wearing masks. And the photo shows a guy texting and driving his motorcycle at the same time. a war declaration. Palestinians in Israel decry mass arrest. So Israeli police have launched waves of arrests targeting Palestinian citizens of Israel who rallied in support of Sheikh Jarrah, Al-Aqsa, and Gaza. Wow, that's an ouch. And what else? Sasha Johnson. Oh, yeah, we talked about her. Senegalese rally against LGBTQ rights. So this is a downer. Several hundred protesters rallied Sunday in Dakar to demand that homosexuality be made a crime in Senegal. It's not illegal to identify as gay in the deeply conservative Muslim nation, but same-sex activity is already punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Religious leaders and civil society figures addressed hundreds of protesters. So, very, very scary, dangerous times in Senegal. And a volcano's erupted in the Democratic Republic of Congo's Goma. Tens of thousands of residents have fled in panic while hundreds were left homeless. And I guess that's all we got. We're out of time. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fantastic program. And then after that...
Well, that sound means that our time has come to an end. Thanks for listening.
Now it's time to roll back.
I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious
Goals Committee
with Tope at 1900 UTC.
I've followed.